Hey, JT.
Hello.
Thanks for coming and doing this with me.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
I originally said I was going to do this series with just women, but I have since thought of a few men that I do want to ask to come and be involved. The reason I wanted to do mainly women is because I think we experience anger different than men. And so therefore I wanted female opinions. I wanted new perspective on anger. But because you know me so well and we often agree on so many things perspective-wise related to emotions, I was like, oh no, I really think you should come and be part of this. So I changed my mind.
Well, I'm honored to be a man on your podcast.
Yeah, I think generally my Nat Chats With episodes are more women than men, but I do have a few men.
Okay.
I think my listeners are mostly female. So
that's great. Most of my friends are female.
Okay. So. Excellent. Do you mind saying your age? I'm happy for you to use an age bracket, but I want to share the fact that I'm not just asking one demographic. I'm getting a wide variety.
Yeah. Hi, I'm JT, and I'm 24.
I'm starting each episode asking people to tell me three words that you give great importance to help us know who you are.
Three words that have great importance to me?
Yeah.
Say the first one is actualization.
Oh, nice. There's the psychologist in you, why I love you. I'm a huge Maslow fan.
Yes. I'm very passionate about self-actualization. I often tell people that my religion is self-actualization.
How have I never heard that?
I've just started using it more often, I think. Uh-huh. It's kind of this past summer that I've kind of exploring myself. I've kind of realized that that's where my passion lies, is wanting to be the best version of myself and help other people do that. So that's my religion, I tell people now.
Awesome. I'm going to interrupt my question to say this because it's on topic.
Yes.
For the listener, I actually quit therapy believing that I'd be better off just talking to JT, just having conversations with JT, because JT is getting his master's, well, about to get his master's.
Yes.
At Rochester.
Mm-hmm. For couples and family therapy.
Okay.
Yeah. So a branch of psychology.
And so the last three times I saw my therapist, I was really frustrated with the thought, if only you just knew me, if only you just knew me, you could be giving me good advice rather than us going through this dance that gets us nowhere every visit. My initial thought was, okay, I'm going to ask JT. And I didn't ask you, and I didn't ask you, and I didn't ask you. But then I asked you.
Yeah. And I was like, you need to get a new therapist. Because honestly, that's what therapists are there to do. If they're not doing their job, you fire them and get a new one.
Yeah. But you're the one who, when I finally told you that I wasn't liking my therapist, you said it's unethical of her to not address the issue you keep saying you're struggling with.
Oh, for sure.
And I wish so bad I had heard that sooner, because I feel like I allowed myself to reach a point where she was making my anger issue an issue also in therapy.
Gotcha.
That's not the goal.
Yeah. I mean, in my training, it's very clear that a therapist's main goal, you know, purpose is the well-being of their client. And that takes listening, and even to the point where if you can't help them, referring them to someone better who has the capability or the skill set to provide that help.
That right there feels like humanity.
Yes.
That is humanity.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my first thought, is I just need to talk to JT. Then when I'm ending my therapy with her and having this conversation, it was probably moments before that online visit that it dawned on me, I'd be better off talking to my friends, like a bunch of friends. And then that morphed into a podcast episode. And so I was like, no, I'm going to sit down with JT every week. Surely we can exchange things you need for things I need. I have skills, you have skills. Let's make this a fair trade. And I remember your first answer was, I am not licensed. And I'm like, I don't care.
I was like, I would love to talk to you, because I talk to all of my friends. I'm a very personable person and love having deep conversations. But when people are like, do you want to be my therapist? I'm like, not officially.
My side point back to self-actualization. My intonation training, that is an audiobook and a workbook, mm-hmm. has Maslow's hierarchy of needs as the foundation.
Yes.
And so...
Yeah, I love it.
I'm not really surprised that you would say that, but B, I'm kind of surprised I haven't heard it sooner.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just over here a bigger fan than I was. Okay, so second word.
Second word, this one has been changing a lot in my life, but I would say boundaries. Mm-hmm. That is a very important part of my experience right now, is learning how to have clear boundaries without attachment to the outcomes, you know.
Nice.
A phrase that I've been trying to amplify is, I know what I want, I know what I don't want, and I communicate that clearly and lovingly without attachment to the outcome.
Excellent.
And that
sounds so healthy.
Yeah. And it's been a really great experience for me, especially with a lot of the relationships that I'm having right now. And it gets me to the point with people very clearly and faster. Like, if I know their intention isn't great, I find out sooner. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was telling you about that guy I was dating, kind of the older gentleman mm-hmm. who very poorly handled things with me. And I was like, this is what I want. This is what I don't want. And I'm sorry, but you can't be a part of my life because of how you acted. And he freaked out. But yeah. I communicated that to him clearly.
And that just shows the greater need for boundaries. You started to set a boundary. He yes. hardly gave you an opportunity.
Yes.
And then he showed you, oh, no, my boundary needs to be even larger because of you acting like this.
Exactly. So boundary, the word boundary is very important to me.
Excellent.
And the third one I might have to think about.
That's been a pattern, actually. Most people can think of two quite yeah. quickly.
No, I already have a word. I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it.
Oh, okay.
Or think of like the best word that encompasses the feeling that I have right now. Because I don't want to say joy because I feel like that's cliche. But exploration.
Okay. As a side point, I'm going to do a series after this one because mm-hmm. one of my friends I interviewed, she said you should do a part two mm-hmm. series on joy. Since you're giving anger so much concentration, after this, do a series on joy. And I said, absolutely, that's what I'm doing. And I've already made a bunch of notes.
Good.
So you feel like joy is cliche. Actually, it's very on point.
Okay, good. I mean, I just feel like joy has a lot of connotation that's misunderstood. And like what true joy is very often not what people experience, or what they're actually looking for is not true joy. So that's why I'm careful to use that word.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to create a pre-recording questionnaire so people know what to expect with the joy series.
Okay.
So that if they want to come and talk to me, they know the questions. They could bring their paper with the answers written down if they want to. Or if they don't want to come and record, they could just give me the questionnaire and I can share.
Yeah, kind of
the answers. Yeah. So
read the answers.
It'll be just as easy or easier to do the joy series.
Yeah, I would do it.
So good word.
Yeah. Exploration, though, is what I would say.
Nice.
And I've kind of shared with you outside of this that, like, you know, I really, the last 2 years after I dumped my boyfriend, I like dove into school and that became who I was. I did a really good job. But over the past 9 months, I've really stepped out of my comfort zone and tried a lot of new things and pushed myself in new ways. And it's been very successful and fun. And so that's why I say exploration, because yeah. I'm trying to build the habit of always wanting to explore new things
yeah.
and not getting stuck.
I've said in the past, if there was a meaning to life, I think it's twofold: learning and happiness. That's why I love self-actualization, because it's in the learning about who I am that I become more self-aware and achieve self-actualization, which gets me to happiness. It's a process. And I absolutely do see it as that way. This, then this, then this, then this. And it begins with learning. Mm. Exploration.
Yeah.
Okay, so going straight into anger, can you share just generally, how do you see anger?
Yeah, I mean, first I want to preface, because I always feel like I need to, that like the opinions that I have now are based on the experiences that I'm currently in, and they can change, or... you know, how I'm wording things is a better form than how I'm actually doing it in my real life. You know, we're all human, and yeah. I love to share knowledge, but I know I'm not the best at actually performing it in my life. So I'm not perfect by any means, or am, you know, handling my anger better than anyone else. But I've actually studied a lot about anger.
Oh, good.
So,
well, and here I am with a podcast, and I absolutely don't believe it makes me a quote unquote expert.
Yes.
Because the only thing I'm an expert in, and even still, I'm only more of an expert than anybody else in myself.
Yes.
Right? I'm still figuring myself out. So nobody's perfect. Nobody's really an expert mm-hmm. in mastering anger. So don't think that I'm going to be like, hypocrite. No, no.
Well, we can still learn from each other.
Yeah. But
to answer your question, how I view anger.
Take it any direction you want.
So for me, anger is a very important and valuable emotion that we experience as humans, that is what we use to establish our boundaries with the world around us. So the emotion of anger, in a lot of ways, people view it as bad and negative, but anger is the warning sign to our souls that we don't like what's happening outside of us. And it helps us check what that is and how we can correct it, move around it, or set up a boundary to prevent it from happening to us.
Wow. I wish so bad that at 24, I had that clarity.
There's a book that I really love called The Language of Emotions by Carla McLaren. In that book, she talks about the importance of each of like the primary emotions, and she spends a lot of time on anger. And it was that book that kind of helped build a healthy narrative of what anger was, because I grew up in a very religious home, and one of the phrases that my parents would always tell us is just be happy, just think happy thoughts and you'll be better. And we were, you know, looked down on or punished, or there was adverse effects by expressing any emotion other than happiness.
Oh, shoot.
And so for the longest time, I really would stuff things down, and that it would come out in other ways. You know, I'd have outbursts.
Of course.
Or, you know, a lot of passive aggressive. I tell everyone that my mom is a professional passive aggressive person. But through years of therapy and reading that book, you know, I've learned a lot about what anger actually is. Uh-huh. And the feeling of anger is not what's bad. It's how we channel it, because anger is our boundaries.
You saying that you had a family saying, you're the third person who has said that.
Yeah.
That certain feelings weren't acceptable, and what was acceptable was this family saying.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I don't know if it necessarily was like a family saying, but it was just, I would say, a narrative that was constant. Huh. And a lot of my siblings as adults we've talked have felt or expressed similar, you know, narrative experience of just be happy.
And you're 4 of 5, right?
I'm 4 of 6.
4 of 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have an older brother, 3 sisters, and a non-binary sibling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What emotions do you have associated with anger? And by associated, it could be things that trigger anger, precursor emotions that you've noticed you have before you reach the point of anger. Any associations is what I'm after.
The thing with anger for me is I don't get angry very often. I feel like I experience little touts of frustration, but I am very good at like managing my emotions and kind of like keeping myself off of like getting into a steam rampage. I can't remember the last time that I ever was like angry, because a lot of times my anger will turn into sadness very fast.
Oh, wow. So anger first.
Yeah, that boundary, you know, trigger where it's like, this really hurts my feelings. I'm not okay with how this person talked to me or did anything. But then it turns to like mourning or grief or, you know, sadness that this person would do that. Uh-huh. Or, you know, my frustration I don't think I've ever really reached very high levels of anger or rage, because that spike of anger very quickly turns into grief, sadness, or kind of like disappointment.
Yes.
Those are a lot of the words I would use. Like, for example, I would say the most recent time I've been angry was with my parents not inviting me on any of the family trips this summer, and me finding out through my siblings that they were all going on these trips and I had no clue about them.
Oh.
And it was very like a frustrating situation, and I was very upset. And I would say I was angry, but I called my mom and I said, "This really hurt me. Why didn't you invite me?" And then I set a boundary with her. I was like, "If you want me to come on the trips, you need to give me 4 weeks in advance. And if you don't, I'm not going to come." So I don't think I was like angry yelling at my mom, but definitely was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Anger is a very hard thing, because I don't know how often I actually experience true anger.
I actually envy you saying that, because I've seen anger affect me physically. There's a book called The Mind-Body Prescription by Dr. John E. Sarno.
I know of it, yeah.
Okay, and I've referenced that a few times in podcast episodes, because it feels revolutionary when it's actually how we operate. So I know that my emotions create psychosomatic pain. I know this. You would think that that would make me want to be more in charge of my emotions. Or rather, you would think that would make me be able to be more in charge of my emotions, because I hate pain, and it doesn't. But that's also part of the reason I'm doing all of this, is anger doesn't always feel like a choice for me. So I feel like I need this perspective. And every single person I've sat down with says things that make me go, "Oh, I never thought of it that way." And you've already done that.
Good.
Yeah. I actually am pretty sure that at the end of this series, I'm going to do a sum up episode just by myself, pointing out the different things that people said that felt so incredibly beneficial that might be obvious to others, but weren't obvious to me.
Mm-hmm.
I do listen to my own podcast. Sometimes I'll return to something just to have clarity.
I actually keep an emotional vocabulary list to help me navigate my emotions. So I got this from my therapist a couple years ago.
He just pulled this out of his bum bag. This is so cool.
Yeah, I carry it with me because
it's like the feeling wheel, but bigger.
Yeah, bigger. Because one of the things that I've like really worked on is trying to name my emotions while I'm feeling them, instead of just saying like, "Oh, I feel bad," or "I feel just sad," because sad is such a drastic word, you know? So this says there's three levels. So soft, anger, and apathy. So there's annoyed, bored, cold, crabby, cranky, critical, cross, indifferent. There's a few more. And then mood state anger, aggravated, antagonized. Let's see, mad, offended, resentful, riled up, sarcastic, and then intense anger and hatred. So there's aggressive, bitter, disgusted, furious, hateful, irate, livid, raving. There's a bunch more. Huh. Violent. So I think that's really important to point out in this conversation, is anger is a spectrum.
Yeah.
You know, I, as an individual, and it might be because of my levels of depression, but I feel emotions at very low bases all around. Like, very rarely do I experience extreme spouts of happiness or, you know, fear or everything. It's all very muted.
Okay.
I feel like my life, when it comes to emotions, it might be depression, but it also might just be that, like, I'm a very self-aware person and I, like, can see them arising very quickly. So I would say a lot of my emotions are on the soft anger and apathy spectrum, like the first list I shared.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's so cool about that list for me, especially right at the end, because you stopped right as you got to violent anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I have violent anger overwhelming my perception of anger.
Okay.
Because of how I was raised.
Okay.
And I'm learning through talking to people that this is my problem. My problem is I have never allowed myself to understand anger to understand the value of it, to understand the spectrum of it, just as you were just showing me. And so because my father responded to everything with violent anger.
Like explosive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I have such a narrow perception of anger.
Yeah.
Which is why I criticize myself for feeling it and why I get so upset when I can't get out of it. And it feels like shit anyway. Mm-hmm. Being angry feels like total shit.
But why does it have to feel like shit? Can't you honor the anger and realize why you're angry?
Excellent question.
Yeah.
The only answer is no, because I never thought to. That's my only answer. I never thought to.
Well, like, that's why I feel it's so important to view anger as a boundary-setting emotion, because you're angry for a reason. Uh-huh. If you just dwell in that anger, you know, you're just staying angry, and you're not really addressing the problem that made you angry.
Yeah.
You know, your outburst with that coworker was a form of setting boundaries and expressing that anger. But if you sit in that anger, honor it, see why it's there, you can make changes, hopefully. Sometimes it's hard with other people involved, but I think anger is one of the most important emotions, which is why it's one of the ones that we condense all the words I shared down to one, you know?
I have had such a narrow perspective. I think I'm so open-minded. Nope. I'm amazed. The more I learn listening to people on this topic, the more I'm like, wow, I'm fucking dumb. Especially where this is concerned. Not that I have in my head that, you know, everything is my way or the highway, or how I see it is accurate. That's not true. And I very often will say in a podcast, I'm open to opinions. I didn't expect to learn so much. Mm. I just didn't. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I want to say to myself from now on, what is the boundary I need to set? Because obviously I'm in anger now. Yeah. So what is the boundary I need to set? Because I have the opportunity to make change.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a statement you said earlier. You said, I feel dumb. And I hate that phrase. So I always tell people, I correct people. I said, you're not dumb. You're just inexperienced. So
absolutely inexperienced with anger. Because my only experience is how I grew up and how I struggle. How I grew up watching the anger, and then my so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, your only perspective of what anger was mono anger, like the explosive, violent rage. And you were made to feel guilty for having that as an adult. And so that's your only experience.
I wasn't made to feel guilty. Okay. Let me just slightly enlighten you on the perspective I had. Even as a small child, I saw it was stupid. Mm. So my dad is standing there shouting. And I'm like 5 years old going, God, this is dumb. This is so dumb. Because he would rant to the point he would convince me he didn't know what he was talking about. He would convince me he was in the wrong. He would convince me that he's paranoid. He would convince me of all of these things that even as a child I could see. Mm-hmm. And so a trigger for me for anger is stupidity. Mm. I see stupidity and I get angry.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit backwards because he was angry. Mm-hmm. I saw it as stupid and I didn't take that anywhere. Yeah. But now when I see stupidity as an adult, I get angry.
Yeah. Can I ask then, like, now when you get angry, are you like hard on yourself because you feel stupid for feeling angry?
Yes. I feel stupid for not being able to just sort it out. Mm-hmm. Like, take control of yourself, Natalie. Take control. You're in control of so many things. As well as you know me, if somebody said to you, how in control, on a scale of 1 to 10, how in control do you think Natalie is?
Are you asking me that now? I would say probably like an 8.
Yeah. I'm pretty in control the majority of the time.
Yeah.
I can control a situation. I can control my confidence. I can control a conversation.
Yeah.
I can control customers. I can control so many things that the inability to be in control of an emotion, I just go, don't be so fucking dumb. Mm. And I do. In fact, That's one good thing the therapist that I just stopped seeing did, was she forced me to tell her my negative self-view sentences.
Mm.
And hearing myself say those things to another individual, I was embarrassed. I was like, I'm seriously admitting this right now, out loud, that I say these things about myself.
Yeah.
So it was in hearing myself admit those to her that I went, okay, that's got to stop.
Yeah.
But again, that comes right back to control. Natalie, you can control yourself and stop saying those things. You do have the ability to not say negative things to yourself.
Yeah. You kind of spiral when you're in anger because you're getting mad at yourself at the same time, which makes it worse, right?
Yes.
Yes. So I just think that's very interesting. But I think a lot of us do it in a lot of ways where it's like, oh, I'm angry about this situation. Now I'm angry at myself for being angry at this situation. Now I'm even more elevated and explosive and irrational, you know? But if you have like grace for yourself, you know, not doing that negative talk, anger, like I've said probably too many times, can be really helpful for self-preservation, but also for self-reflection. Yeah. Makes me sad that people refer to like anger and sadness and fear as negative emotions, like they're bad and we can't have them, that we shouldn't have them, because it's cliche, but like happiness can't happen without anger.
Yeah, duality and everything.
Yeah, there's always balance in life, but I feel like there is a negative in overstimulating a single emotion only. Even happiness, you know, we hear the term toxic happiness. I was talking with one of my really close friends this past week about his ex-boyfriend that we both know very well. And one of his mottos in life is good vibes only. In the friend group that we have, in order to come to the parties or the events that they throw, it's like only good vibes. And I feel like that's really not the human experience. You can't truly know someone if you don't have every aspect, every sliver of anger or human expression. And that's how I kind of view anger, as just a part of a whole that we all have to experience.
Yeah. And life is a roller coaster. Wouldn't good vibes only be nice to be the only thing we experience, but it isn't. So
yeah,
anybody saying that regularly would end up being perceived as annoying.
He's perceived as very shallow. I've talked to multiple people who are very close in his life, like his new partner, kind of, they're like dating right now. And he's like, one of my biggest challenges with this person that I am wanting to potentially date full time is he will never be vulnerable with me.
Because of his own rule of good vibes only.
Yeah.
For himself.
I guarantee he grew up in 11 siblings in a very religious home in Idaho. Oh. So I understand it's probably very similar to my upbringing. But anger is another thing that makes us human, which I appreciate. Emotions are a hard thing for me to talk about because a lot of the times I feel like I feel very few of them. And that's why I joke that I'm a boring person.
But no offense, self-actualization is important to you.
Yeah.
And I can say this because I'm old. You're only 24.
Yeah.
You're going to change so many times. You're going to learn so much. It just is what it is. You're going to go through phases in life where your emotions are muted. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is just where you're at, is in a space where things feel muted. As an enabler, for years, my whole personality was muted because everybody else mattered more. And never was like, how do I feel?
Yeah.
That wasn't even a thought, let alone a question.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. There are phases, and the road to self-actualization is just that. It's a road, and you'll go through a lot of cities.
Yeah, no, that's true. And like, I'm a person who, I don't like saying the word I'm an empath because I feel like that's not completely true. But due to a lot of my experiences and the traumas in my home, I've learned to read people's emotions very quickly to navigate them and to manage other people by my behavior.
That's how you become an empath, is you have to be, you end up so tuned in.
Yeah. Well, to keep on the topic of anger, my dad growing up had an explosive anger and would very quickly yell at me and swear at me. And for the first part of my life, I was very defensive and hurt by him. I remember being a kid and just going in my room and always like beating myself up because I was the person who caused the anger. But I don't know what happened around when I was like 14 or 15. I had been going to therapy for 2 years, and a lot of my therapy was focused on my relationship with my dad. Mm-hmm. And I started to fight back. And I remember one camp out, we were boiling water for hot chocolate.
Okay.
And this was like one of my first experiences fighting back, where I was holding the cup and he poured the water on my hand. On accident. It wasn't on purpose, but I dropped the cup because, you know, boiling water.
Yeah, you would.
And he freaked out. He's like, I don't know, am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
I swear.
Okay. He was like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I looked at him and I said, no, what the hell's wrong with you? In like the same tone.
Nice.
And then I have another memory of being in the garage and him on the stairs and me at my car. And he was yelling at me, calling me a bitch. And I turned around and I was like, no, you're the fucking bitch. I don't know why I had those experiences, but after that, like matching that explosive energy, like they kind of stopped happening.
Oh.
It was very different.
It was enlightening for him, even if he didn't realize it was enlightening.
And I think that might be a unique experience that me as a male might be able to experience, because that behavior from men is more accepted.
Yeah.
For my sisters to have those same reactions with my dad, because I had four sisters growing up, you know, I don't think it would have gone as well for them.
Yeah.
Like you shared your story, I remember looking at my dad and seeing his explosive anger and just being very confused and just kind of annoyed. But I was very explosive as a kid too. Like when I would get angry, I would slam doors, I would yell at my parents. And when I got into high school, that just wasn't there anymore. I didn't experience anger in explosive ways anymore. And I was very good at just expressing to them my hurt or disappointment or upset. Honestly, I also learned to hide a lot of it, you know, where it's just brush it under the rug so I didn't have to deal with the conflict with my parents, you know.
Yeah, that was me. Don't have feelings.
Yeah.
Just like I convinced myself, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Throughout my childhood and into my teens. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I would say a lot of the anger that I experienced as a kid turned into bitterness as an adult. And I've been lucky enough to have studied a lot of interpersonal communication skills in my degree that allowed me to have conversations with those people and put a lot of it to rest. And unfortunately, some of the people I've had the conversation with have not reciprocated. And that's very sad. We haven't really said it out loud, but I'm gay. And a part of my childhood was coming out to my parents multiple times and how poorly they handled it. My parents aren't perfect. They've done the best they could. But my mom had said some very hurtful things and did some things to push me in ways that was very uncomfortable. I won't go into details, but my dad also, when I came out to him, said some very terrible things. And I've been out for 11 years to my parents, and I had a lot of resentment because of how they treated me. Mm. And I had that conversation with my dad, like bitterness was one of the words in my chart that was under the umbrella of anger. And my dad listened and we communicated through it, and I expressed my hurt and my anger towards him for what he did to me and the adverse effects that I still experience today from his words. And he was very apologetic and listened. So that was a very healthy way for me to express my anger. But with my mom, I tried to have the same conversation and she just completely shut it down.
I think it's worth saying, just as a point of interest, that your father's a narcissist, because we've talked about that and my father's a narcissist. And so for the listener, I just really love the idea of drawing the big picture.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always careful to diagnose my dad. So I often say he has very strong narcissistic tendencies.
Okay.
I don't know if he's, you know, certified or, you know, he's never gotten a psychological analysis.
Well, unfortunately, narcissists...
They don't believe it, so they don't go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Narcissists aren't going to believe that they're a narcissist. Never, ever, ever.
Oh, no.
And any time I've ever tried to point out to my dad, you hear what you're saying, right? You hear how narcissistic that is?
Yeah.
He goes, I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.
Like it's a Natalie thing. It's a Natalie perspective.
Which is a narcissistic thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, watching my dad's anger, and ironically my mom's expression of anger has taught me a lot about how I do not want to express my own anger.
Oh, nice. She's a good bad example.
Yeah. My mom is probably the most passive aggressive person that I've ever met in my life.
What's fascinating to me, since I'm no longer LDS and haven't been since I was 19, is how many LDS people, Mormons, whatever you want to call them, mothers are excessively passive aggressive, friends, mothers.
Well, honestly, this is just my opinion, but I think it's because they're not allowed to express anger the way other people are. It's not acceptable in the church. You know, a woman is graceful in the church. A woman is kind and caring and loving. And if any other way she doesn't fit into the box, she's isolated and rejected from her community.
Uh-huh.
And so passive aggressive behavior is the only outlet.
And they all do it, so it's acceptable.
Yeah, and it's very stereotypical of in that community to be passive aggressive.
Yeah.
And my mom is a golden example of that because she cares so much about what other people think.
She has a gold medal in passive aggressiveness.
Yes. Yes, she's taught me very well.
One of the last things that I keep trying to remember to return to, because I think it could be so useful. Mm-hmm. Where did you get that chart? Because I want one and so might somebody else.
Yeah, let me, I think.
That's a really cool chart.
I wonder if there's a...
It like folds up, guys. And the text on it is really small. So there's tons of information in one small area.
Yeah, and on the back, it also has like ways to like verbally express certain words and stuff like that.
This is such an emotionally healthy person's tool.
Yeah.
Well, I want one.
Yeah, it's nice. I'll like pull it out when I'm journaling to like help.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes just saying that you're anxious or you feel shame or jealousy, it doesn't give enough depth or context to what you're actually experiencing.
Yeah.
And I found that like by having a better emotional vocabulary, it makes my experience much easier to navigate for myself.
Yeah.
Because I know what's happening.
That's why I write.
Yeah.
I get clarity when I try to find words for what I'm feeling. Oh. It's like I am my own solutionist.
Yes. Yes. So it's from the same author from the book. And I said her name wrong earlier, but it's from The Art of Empathy by Carla McLaren.
Okay.
All rights reserved. And I think you can get this booklet on her website on KARLAMCLAREN.com.
Excellent.
So my therapist just gave this to me probably 2 years ago, and I've just kept it in my bag since then.
Such a cool tool.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Well, thank you so much for coming to my hot recording studio.
It is very hot in here.
I don't have any vents in this room. Thank you so much for coming and sitting with me.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful for all the light bulbs.
It was fun.
I'll see you later.